shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
I don't dispute that $56 million is a lot of money. I don't dispute the merits of the suit.
We have about 33 pages in a document.
Generally, I would agree with that. You want the marketplace to determine what the right compensation is.
I don't dispute that $56 million is a lot of money.
I've used the N-word most of my life.
Cuddle with me.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A trip through the looking glass of talk radio and reality. On this program, we take on everybody. All right, now coming up, we have with us Professor Emory Clayton. Professor Clayton, who is a professor of philosophy, political science, as well as African-American studies at L.A. Canyon College, joins us to talk about a couple of things in the news having to do with African-Americans, and I don't even want to say African-American, you know, the entire community, just having to do with, I suppose, African-American issues. Coming up next hour, we will have with us Robert Green. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods, and we'll be discussing with us the TARP monies, the compensation for these executives and these other individuals who were working for these companies that were receiving TARP compensation, and the money that they're getting, that they're still taking, in terms of bonuses. But first, let's bring on Professor Emory Clayton. Sir, how are you this evening?
I'm very good, Phil, and thank you for having me on your program again.
Now, on MSNBC, Professor Clayton, Contessa Brewer has apologized for mixing up civil rights activists Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Now, this took place on MSNBC sometime over the last few days. She made the slip-up, I guess it was Wednesday, while she was introducing Jackson. So let's listen to Contessa Brewer here as she talks with Reverend Jackson, but in point of fact thinks she's talking to, or makes the mistake of talking to, or basically identifies him as Al Sharpton.
Joining me now to talk about this and the nation's real problem of joblessness, the Reverend Al Sharpton. What's your reaction to hearing someone say, you know, when it comes to income inequality, all's well. The rising tide floats all boats.
I'm Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Right. I'm so sorry. The script in front of me said Reverend Al Sharpton. I'm looking at your face. I know who you are, Reverend Jackson. We all do. I'm sorry.
All right. So you heard that. And she did apologize, Professor.
Well, I know she apologized, Phil. I could hear that very clearly. I would apologize, too, because I don't think I've heard too many more ignorant things on television or radio than what happens with some of these reporters when they believe that they're talking to one black person and they find out they're talking to another black person. I'd be embarrassed as well. So, of course, she's going to apologize because she knows that she has to apologize for fear of losing her job. But if no one had pointed out to her that she was sitting in front of Jesse Jackson, that woman would have continued believing she was talking to Al Sharpton. And that's at the crux of what I'm trying to say to you and what I've been talking to my students about. If you're a reporter, then you have an obligation to know who it is you're speaking with. I understand that there are some white people who work under this handicap that they cannot tell the difference between one black person and another black person.
Well, wait, do you think that that's her problem?
I know that's her problem. You heard it. It's there for all to see. It's there for all to hear. She thought she was talking to Al Sharpton. She had, now, these are two men that are very well known. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are both prominent members of the African-American community and have been a part of social movements and social activism for decades. There's no question who these men are, and there should be no question as to what they look like. But you've got a white woman on CNBC.
MSNBC.
MSNBC, who reacts as a white person will react when they are looking to show their literacy, their erudition, and they forget to take a good long look at the black man or the black woman that's in front of them. I think that what you have to do is you have to understand that this has been going on now for a long time. And we've seen examples of this countless times with Barack Obama. They're continually trying to confuse him with Osama bin Laden, as if a black man who wears a turban and a black man who wears a business suit, as if you can't tell the difference between the two.
No, don't you think, though, the Barack Obama and Osama bin Laden confusion has more to do with the name, not the way these guys look?
I've never heard an American president yet confused with another individual. I've never heard an American president yet who's been confused with another prominent person internationally. We had a president by the name of George Bush. I never heard anyone confuse him with anybody else named Bush. We had an American president named Clinton.
Well, can you think of anybody named Bush?
That's not the point. The point is that there are a great many prominent people in this world who share the same last name or have names that are similar, but I've never heard it happen to any American president until it happened to President Barack Obama. Now, the other point to make is not so much that this woman confuses one black man with another.
Let me interrupt you here for just a second. Do you think this indicates a racism on her part?
Of course it indicates racism, but it's not the kind of racism that any white person is going to acknowledge, because they believe that it is what they call an innocent mistake. Well, you can call it an innocent mistake if you want to, but it is not innocent when you have one of the most prominent people in the African-American community sitting in front of you, the man who stood on the balcony with Dr. King, a man who has been a part of American politics for decades, and you confuse him with another man named Al Sharpton, who comes at the political process and the question of social activism from a completely different point of view. It, of course, bespeaks the white reporter who's reading a script because she can't tell who the man is in front of her. And so,
what do I want to know? No, she said that she was reading from a script.
No, but she had to read the script to know who it was she was sitting in front of. That's how absolutely, without any ability to scrutinize or to discriminate, that is how absolutely blind this woman was.
What I heard her say was, I was reading the script.
And if the script, yeah, and the script said it was Al Sharpton, and sitting right in front of her is Jesse Jackson. Now, as far as she was concerned, that was Al Sharpton.
So you're telling me that you believe this reporter from MSNBC, Contessa Brewer, really thought that Al Sharpton was sitting in front of her?
Phil, I don't have to contend. I've got the tape recording of what you just played to prove it.
All right, let me play it one more time so the audience knows what I'm talking about.
Well, you can play it one more. I know what you're talking about. I heard it. I don't need to hear it one more time, and I think you're showing much respect to the audience when you have to play it again so that you can say to them, no, she really isn't what she is. She's something else, because the professor here has got to be wrong. I can't believe that a white woman would sit and look at a man and not know that it is Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. I'm here to tell you that white people do it all the time. Now, I'm not trying to denigrate the white race. This is a social as well as a historical problem, one that can be solved, but one that we cannot ignore, and one that we cannot deny, especially when we have the evidence of it right before our very eyes. And in the case of this woman, Brewer, on the CNBC or MSNBC, she had right in front of her Jesse Jackson, but as far as she was concerned, he weighed another 30 pounds, had his hair in a semi-conk hairdo, had a ridiculous-looking mustache, however you want to describe Reverend Al Sharpton, and as far as she was concerned, that's what he looked like.
All right, you may be right. I don't know. I don't think so. I have to be very honest with you. I'm going to play this again so we can listen to Contessa Brewer here as she brings on, she attempts to bring on Jesse Jackson.
Joining me now to talk about this and the nation's real problem of joblessness, the Reverend Al Sharpton. What's your reaction to hearing someone say, you know, when it comes to income inequality, all's well. The rising tide floats all boats.
I'm Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Right there. You heard that, right?
I don't,
yes,
you know,
I heard.
I'm so sorry. The script in front of me said Reverend Al Sharpton. I'm looking at your face. I know who you are, Reverend Jackson. We all do. I'm sorry.
So the point that you're making is that the script.
Yeah, the point I'm making is that she says it for me. She does. She basically puts the noose around her own neck when she says, the script in front of me said Al Sharpton, and because I don't know who you are or what Al Sharpton looks like or anything else. I just assume you're Al Sharpton.
Let's ask this question, okay? Let me ask this question. Suppose she was so dumb she didn't know what Al Sharpton looked like, and so she assumed that the man who looked like Jesse Jackson that was sitting in front of her was Al Sharpton.
You're attributing to her then, Phil, even more stupidity than I am. If you'd like to believe that, then you go right ahead and believe that, and my very, very best wishes to you and the best of luck. But you want to attribute to her more stupidity than I'm attributing to her. I'm not saying she's a stupid woman. I'm saying she is a typically white woman, and that she has a script that says that this is Al Sharpton, and she knows what Al Sharpton looks like. But to her, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, there ain't any difference because of the black skin. And again, what I tell my students in our African-American studies programs and our social studies program is understand that once you have black skin, once the DNA is established that your skin is black, you are all the same. You are all a unit, as if it was an assembly line of black androids that had just rolled off the assembly line plant. All of the faces are the same, and basically the function is the same, and that is to either vote for me or to buy my product, but to be seen as an individual. It doesn't matter how famous you are, how great you are, how many mountains you've climbed in your life. If you're Jesse Jackson, who stood on the balcony with Martin Luther King the day he was shot down, as far as this white woman at MSNBC is concerned, he is fat. He's got a permanent hairdo, or however you want to describe Reverend Sharpton, and he wears a cheap suit, or however you want to describe him.
Boy, you've got a lot of insulting things to say about Al Sharpton.
Well, I'm not saying anything that at least I know what he looks like. You understand what I'm saying? I know what he looks like. I know the difference between him and Jesse Jackson. I know that Jesse Jackson speaks with a very thick Georgia accent. I know Al Sharpton's got a New York accent. I know Jesse Jackson wears his hair shorter than Al Sharpton. I know Jesse Jackson's skin is darker complected than Al Sharpton's. I know Jesse Jackson has a thinner mustache, and Al Sharpton goes for that big, thick, if you want to call it a walrus mustache, something like that. These are things that I understand and that most observant black people see. But to the white,
Now you're talking about all white people here. A minute ago we were talking about Contessa Brewer.
I'm talking about the average white. I'm not saying that all, but the average white sees the same man, the same face. And I swear there are times when, in the instance of that South African runner, it could be a woman or a man. It's just the same. It's the same individual. Not a male, not a female, but some kind of a unisex or eunuch individual that serves their purposes. And nothing could be clearer proof of it than that audio clip you just played.
All right, we're with Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College here on this MSNBC slip-up by Contessa Brewer, sitting in a studio with Jesse Jackson and referring to him as Al Sharpton. The professor has the view, which is shared by some, and it's a fairly long-standing view that is held by some. To some white people, all black people look the same. And he's basically indicting Contessa Brewer of MSNBC as having that type of perception. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, what's the difference? We also want to talk to him a little bit about the Louis Farrakhan statement that the swine flu vaccine, is a plot to limit overpopulation and the Kanye West death hoax. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back here with Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College in a moment to take your phone calls and more statements and comments from him.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Remember, you can watch a live video stream of our show every night at philhendryshow.com. You can also listen to the audio live streaming on our website at philhendryshow.com, and you can download the shows the very next day. I had a couple of things here. We're talking with Professor Emory Clayton from L.A. Canyon College on the Contessa Brewer misintroduction on MSNBC. She had Jesse Jackson sitting there, but she had referred to him as Al Sharpton. Now, she did say that she had a script saying it was Al Sharpton, and I recognize what you're saying.
Yeah, but Phil, she needs to know the difference between Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson.
No, I know what you're saying, and any good journalist would. What I'm saying is there any room, in your opinion, for the fact that she...
Hold on, Phil. I'm gonna give you an example. You listen to how you are struggling with this. You are struggling with this point of view.
No, I'm not. I'm having a hard time articulating.
No, you're having a hard time articulating because you don't understand what it is you want to say. You don't have anything to say. I have told you what the problem is. She sees a black man sitting there. She sees the name Al Sharpton. Phil, in my class on Saturdays, when we do racial sensitivity and we do a what we call a racial recognition in our class, I'll have two black students come up. One will be thin and the other will be heavy. And I'll ask the white students which one is which, who is who, which is the person whose name might be Joe and which is the person whose name might be Bill. They can't, it's very difficult for them to do that. They cannot differentiate because they see just a black, almost like a black blob or a large black mass. And
They certainly see individuals, don't they?
To the extent they see individuals, yes, but it's the same person that they're looking at back and forth, no matter how big and fat one of them may be. It's the same big black thing. You see what I'm saying? And to Contessa Brewer, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, just one big black thing that's sitting across from her.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number here. Let's go to a phone call. We have Anne Marie in Boston. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Anne Marie, what's up?
Hi there, Professor Clayton.
Hi.
My name is Anne Marie.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, I'm just driving
home.
Pleased
to meet you.
From a little bit of a night out in Boston, and I wish that I caught the entire context of this show. I really wish I did. But when I just started hearing you sort of throw me into this, all these white people that just sort of see black people as a blob and can't differentiate between Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson.
We've got an example of that that Mr. Hendry played on the air here a moment ago.
Is the lady there? Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay, did you hear you heard the professor's comment?
I heard a little bit of it. Like I said, I wish...
Well, Professor, why don't you repeat what you said?
What I said to the lady is that we've got this Brewer woman, this white woman over here at MSNBC that called Jesse Jackson Al Sharpton. Now, that is about as classic an example as I can give you of a white, one of these whites seeing a big black mass.
Okay, now, let me ask you something. Could that have just been a conscious mistake on her part, or do you?
Of course, it's a conscious mistake. But do you know why she made the conscious mistake?
I don't know.
Maybe what I'm trying to I'm trying to educate you.
Words, as opposed to the person sitting across from her.
Well, nobody would have Mr. Hendry referred to George Washington a minute ago. No one would have George Washington sitting in front of him and say, and now tonight I'd like to bring on Barack Obama. You'd know it was George Washington. I don't think there'd be any mistaking that. No one would have George Bush sitting in front of him and say, and tonight I think I'll bring on Thomas Jefferson. So why is it that Jesse Jackson suddenly becomes Al Sharpton? Because he's a black man and a white reporter who is in pressed for time and wants to get to her very meaningful questions or whatever she's going to ask, is blowing by the fact that she's talking to an individual. She just wants to talk to the black that she's got in the studio. See, I don't use the term anymore, black people, black man. I just say the black, just as I say the white.
You're speaking on her behalf. It could have just been a stupid mistake on her part.
Well, yeah, but I'm giving you... It was a mistake. It was a total mistake because this white made the mistake of seeing a big black thing instead of a man.
You're assuming she's seeing a big black thing. It sounds to me that's what she was doing.
Because I just told you, you can't possibly make that mistake.
Racism 101.
No.
Racism.
Yes, that's MSNBC. Racism 101. Yes, ma'am.
All right, we'll be back. 877-876-PHIL with Professor Emery Clayton.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
With Professor Emery Clayton tonight here on the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. Professor, before we go to a bunch of phone calls that we have for you, you and I were talking before we went on the air about the Malcolm X's life. I told you I'd read the book and had seen the film.
Yes, you had told me that you had seen the film, and you said, well, I read the book, and I think for most white, if you talk to a lot of your whites, they'll say, I read the book. What that means is I saw the movie. But you say you read the book, too? That's what you're saying?
Yes, sir. I read the biography of Malcolm X.
All right, because as I said, with a lot of the whites, you are using that as a way of saying I saw the movie. I've seen the movie. I read the book.
Well, what I wanted to say was, in the film and in the book, Malcolm X talked about the slave mentality. And you brought up something that I thought was interesting.
I was talking about the slave master mentality. You see, it cuts both ways. It cuts both ways. You can have a slave mentality if you're black, but the white has the slave master mentality. They have the slave master mentality, which means when they look at a black and they see two of them together, as this white woman on MSNBC, this Brewer, she had Jesse Jackson sitting there, but she saw Al Sharpton. And the reason is she's got the slave master mentality. She is thinking of the black as just a blur, or what we call the black hole. That's why those two gentlemen back east got upset when they came out of that lecture. They had heard the term black hole. Well, to a black, that means that a black hole to a black is something that we were referred to by the slave master. Just a large void, a big black dark void. Nothing coming in, nothing going out, you see.
But it's a space term. It's an astronomical term.
I know it's an astronomical term for the white. The white man says it's an to the black, it is a big, that's what we were and what we are to the slave master, a big black sucking hole.
877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll go to a phone call here. It is Robert in Los Angeles. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight, Robert?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, sir.
My comment on that is this. The lady made a mistake. All white people do not see that all blacks look alike. If you reverse that with some of the racism that black people give off themselves, all white people look alike. Now, we're not in the 50s anymore. We need to stop this and just let it roll.
Brother, let me say one thing. Can I just say one thing to you? Number one, you say the lady made a mistake. I don't disagree with that. I'm saying white people make that mistake all the time. It is an unconscious mistake, a subconscious mistake.
And so do black people. They make that mistake.
Well, black,
prejudiced black people make that mistake too. So why are you not jumping on the prejudiced black people?
You're buying into something, though. You're buying into what the white man told you. The white man said, you're racist. You can't be racist. You don't have the power. The white man had the power. The black man does not have the power. We can't be racist.
Okay, so
it's impossible.
You teach pro-black hate.
I do not teach pro-black hate. I teach keeping your eyes open and don't let them look at you like you're a big ink blob. See, brother,
okay,
when you go through life,
like that too, right?
I believe. Well, I have demanded respect of myself.
Okay,
now
so
I know my wife.
So if you demand, they look at you the same way.
No, but my whites, they respect me. I've taught my whites well. And I tell the whites that are around me, you're going to see me as a man with, you know, and I'm a good-looking man and all this. Now, I don't know how what you do for a living, but when you go out in the world and you're standing next to another black man or a black woman, white man look at you and said, there's a big black, it's a big hole, you know, a black hole. See? And
Let me ask a question here. What do you mean black hole?
That's what I'm trying to say to this young man. Now, I want to be an individual just like this young man does. I don't want to be something that got spilled on a rug. You know what I'm saying, young man?
I'm not nothing spilled on a rug, and I'm me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't want to be something that was just, like, blurred all together with the breakfast, you know.
But again, we can say the same thing about white people, but we don't. We choose not to. I choose not. Our generation, I'm 43. My generation choose not to. We choose to live and let live.
I think that's a great way to be, but you got to understand something. It's easy to see the white difference. I mean, look at them. They got the brown in hair, and they got red hair, and they're pink, and some are all freckled up. I mean, they're all real weird look. You know, not weird, but they're different, right? How can you not see them as different? I mean, it's like a big polka dot shirt coming your way, you know. But when you look at a black man, if you white, you look at blacks, all you see is just the big, like somebody spilled chocolate syrup on the counter.
Negative.
What does this mean?
What do you mean negative?
Negative.
In my opinion, and it's been my... Then how come that white woman said, yeah, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, what's the difference? You both got mustaches.
She didn't say that.
Okay. That's what I heard her say.
She didn't say that. She just said Al Sharpton, oh, I'm sorry, you're Jesse Jackson.
No, she come on with a big...
Bush and George W. Bush both got blue eyes. What's the difference? Both of them was pirates. Same thing.
I could tell the difference between those two men because one of them old and one of them skinny and the other one talk funny. You know, you see what I'm saying?
They're still white.
Okay. All right. Listen, they're still white people. And so you're saying that there isn't any equally big white hole.
You're talking about a white hole. Have you ever heard a black man, have you ever heard a brother say, oh, I don't know the difference between John Travolta and Angelina Jolie, right? You ain't never going to make that mistake.
You're not going to make that mistake. One's a man and the other's a woman.
What about that? What about that woman in South Africa? They didn't even know she was a woman. That's how much of a blob she was.
That had nothing to do. That was the athletic. That was the Olympics trying to figure something out. Anyway, Robert, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Stacy here in Cincinnati. Stacy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I want to make...
But you understand the point that I'm trying to make, right, Phil?
I have the caller on the line right now.
But the point I'm making is this. The black hole, a large void, just a dark void.
Yeah, so that when that lady had Jesse Jackson on her show today, it was a void.
Yes, it was a void. It was a Jackson-Shopton void.
All right, go ahead, Stacey.
Okay, first of all, when you're sitting there talking about the Olympics, I have a cousin.
Yeah, that's a good example.
I have a cousin that is white, and you could mistake her for a man or a female. It was if she didn't let her hair grow just a little bit, you could definitely mistake her for a man. So
exactly.
There's no difference
point.
In the black and white.
No, I'm saying that this sister in South Africa was a woman, and the white man didn't know it. Thought it was a man, thought it was a... didn't know what it was.
Sir, that can happen with white people also. We have plenty of men that we can't figure out a woman because they might...
When have you ever walked up to two whites and said, I don't know the difference between the two of them? Never. In my classroom, when I do these racial sensitivity seminars, and I have a black man, two black men, one's fat, one's skinny, you can tell a difference. And I ask my white students, which one is which? And only they tell me, they report back to me, that at first they were stunned, and then they saw just a massive gray field.
Let me get this straight.
Wait a minute, man.
No, you laughing at me, Phil. You know, it's easy for the white man to laugh. I have to live with this lady. Are you black, ma'am?
You pick.
Is the lady black. Is the lady black? Is the lady black or is she?
I'm a white woman.
You're white. All right.
White.
You sound black. Well, you sound black. All right.
Stacy, go ahead. Finish your point.
Well, I was making a point. I said it's a big, large, gray field.
Go ahead.
Okay, but first of all, you're bringing a lot of prejudice, and that's what, you know, we hear. Okay, so
Bill,
course,
you got to play that. This lady didn't hear the clip. You got to hear this, ma'am. You got to hear this. This is the actual lady on a TV show today.
Joining me now to talk about this and the nation's real problem of joblessness, the Reverend Al Sharpton. What's your reaction to hearing someone say, you know, when it comes to income inequality, all's well, the rising tide floats all boats?
Here it comes.
I'm Reverend Jesse Jackson.
You
know what? I'm so sorry. The script in front of me said Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yeah,
I'm looking at your face. I know you are Reverend Jackson. We all do. I'm sorry.
That lady said the script in front of me said Al Sharpton, so naturally I thought you was Al Sharpton because I can't tell the difference between you and Al Sharpton because it's just a large, massive, just a blackness. There's a darkness that surrounds me. You see what I'm saying, lady? Is the woman still there, sir?
Yeah, Stacey, we played the clip for you.
Yeah,
go ahead. Final comment, then we have to move on. Go ahead.
But the problem is, you are bringing a lot of prejudice into it, and it was a mistake. We all make mistakes.
Oh my God!
Black people make mistakes.
I just played the clip for you, and you're still saying that I'm prejudiced.
But no,
you're
saying you bring
man,
you
white people.
You white people. What if we said you black people? What if we said you black people? What would you do?
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say that.
You can call us white people.
Because we've been through 500 years of y'all telling us how to do things. Now, look, you white.
Do you want a better world?
You know,
let's get along.
You remember the guy in The Godfather when he said you Guineas are all the same? I didn't say that, did I? I'm not saying it like The Godfather.
What's The Godfather got to do with it, Professor Emery? The three times people have made this point. Stacey's made it most recently. It is an innocent mistake. People misspeak. I have found myself saying the wrong name at times when I'm talking to somebody else.
Yeah, but you're talking to them on the phone, aren't you?
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Hey, I do
gotcha.
It in person.
Gotcha.
I do it.
Gotcha.
No, you didn't get me. You didn't.
Yes, I did. You're on a telephone. You can't see them. Unless you're trying to tell me this Contessa Brewer is blind. If she's blind, all right, I understand. Is she a blind woman?
Who?
The lady on MSNBC. Is she a blind woman? Does she wear sunglasses?
No.
Then no excuse. If she were a blind woman sitting there doing the interview and she said, I got Al Sharpton, and said, no, I'm Jesse Jackson, she could say, well, I got no eyeballs. Didn't take the glasses off. You see how they stare up at the ceiling or however they do that. Then you'd have yourself an argument. But this lady, Stacy. She, like so many of my whites.
Do you want prejudice to stop? Because it starts with all of us. And everybody needs to stop the prejudice. And it sounds to me like you really don't want to. It sounds to
I
me
do
like
want
you
it.
Want
I
to.
Do, I, want it to I want it to stop, but I want it to stop with you first.
All right. Thank you very much, Stacey. I don't know what that means. 877-876-PHIL. We'll go to one more phone call here on line five. We've got in Sugarland, Texas. This is Jason. Jason, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Clayton, I'm curious. How did you get your job?
How did I get my job? What kind of a question is that? I applied for the position.
I'm asking you a
simple
question. How did you get your job?
I applied for the position.
You applied for it? You don't think it'd be affirmative action?
Are you familiar with how people get jobs? They apply. They have an
application.
All right, check it out.
Look, I am a white man, and I'm a Republican.
Check it out.
Let me finish.
Check.
Let me finish, sir.
You don't have the education to talk to me that way. No, watch it.
I don't have the education.
Whoa. That's easy. Both of you guys, hold on.
Well, you don't sound. Did you get out of high school?
Hold on for a minute.
I'll let him.
Gentlemen.
Little comments, because he has nothing. He ain't got nothing to play.
All I asked you is, have you got your GED? Have you got your GED?
I've got a 4-year and a master's, sir.
A master's? Like in the sailing ships and stuff?
I don't need
no, a college, a master's.
Credentials to you,
all right, go ahead. Sir, go ahead, Jason. I apologize.
You apologize.
No problem.
Go ahead.
I'd like to ask him also.
Wait a minute. You wanted to say something, but you want to interview me. Now, which is it? You want to ask me questions? You
I'd
got
like
something to say?
What happens when people call into a radio show? Do they ask the person questions, or what do you think normally happens?
I don't know. I don't come on these programs that often. I thought I was going to make my statements and not be bothered with. And I don't mean I'm not saying you're bothering me, but it's
okay. Well,
I don't think you
all
really,
right. Let me ask you a question.
You really shouldn't be allowed
what,
to ask
what is
questions.
What is a slave master's mentality? Tell me that.
It's the same as the slave mentality. Only it's the slave master mentality.
What is a slave master's mentality? Tell me how I look at people.
You look at the black man. You look at the black man as a potential threat to you. Now you don't necessarily walk across the street when you see one. You feel
threatened
by black people. Take your job. He's going to take your job. He's going to.
Oh, how's he going to take my job?
He's going to be more attractive to your girl.
Let him take
it. He's going to take your girlfriend away from you. He's going to take your girlfriend away from you.
That's
and intermarry. He's going to intermarry with your girlfriend, and you're going to have a whole bunch of little pickaninny nephews and stuff like that. You know what?
Oh, come on.
You're telling me that I'm worried about black people taking my girlfriend?
You are worried about a black man, a black man with a wide-brimmed hat taking your girlfriend, a black man with a wide-brimmed Superfly hat taking your girlfriend, sitting her down on the tuck and roll of his Cadillac and speeding off into the sunset. You're worried about that.
What does that mean? What the
hell are you kidding me?
Brother, I'll tell you again. You're worried about a black man with his shirt open to his navel.
Jesse Jackson.
And what's the difference between Al Sharpton? Let me ask you. I'm going to prove a point here, Phil. What's the difference between Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson? What's the difference between Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson?
One of them's a race baiter and one of them's a bigot. How about that for starters?
See, the man don't know.
Just like
he don't
you.
Know.
Just
he
like
doesn't
you.
Know.
You.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. I'll tell you.
Except gripe.
30 pounds.
White people
30
don't
pounds.
Like white people don't like you. You've got nothing, dude.
Well, you don't like
people
me.
Don't care.
Do you like me?
People don't care
Do you like
anymore,
me?
Dude.
Do you like me? Do you like me?
I don't care what color you are, man. I don't like your
opinion. No. You don't like me because I'm black. That's why.
Man. You sit here and tell people that white people have a slave master mentality.
Watch
Phil,
it.
I'm sorry 877-876,
Phil, that's okay.
Look at that. See, that young white that I was just talking to, he made with that dirty word, you know, because he's not very articulate. Now, I'm going to say it again. That young white man is...
Well, you did egg him on.
I had to egg him on. It became necessary for me to outrage that young man so that I could find out where he was really coming from. Now, he claimed to have a master's degree, and he might. And he may be educated, and he might be extremely well-rounded and observant. But I'm telling you, his biggest fear in life is that a black man's going to come along with one of those mutton-chop sideburn get-ups and a big Superfly hat with a shirt open to the navel. He's going to sit his girlfriend butt down on that tuck-and-roll in a Cadillac that is kind of violet on the outside, and it's got...
All right. Thanks very much, Professor. God.
What was he doing with that?
I don't know, but I got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Off into the sunset they go.
Phil Hendry.
I've used the N-word most of my life.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and we'll be with Bob Green next hour. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods, a major grocery concern in the Southeast, as well as the Southwest. We'll be talking about the bonuses that are being taken by some Wall Street and banking executives and his feeling on that. And he thinks that the administration's going a little overboard trying to keep these guys from taking bonuses that he thinks are well-deserved. City officials in Reidsville, North Carolina, have banned future performances by a popular regional country band after the group sang an anti-gay rendition of a classic Merle Haggard song at a local festival. Reidsville officials hired
Matt Boswell and the Hillbilly Blues Band to sing at their fall festival held at Market Square in the city's downtown area on Saturday, October the 10th. Local news station WGSR, Channel 47, broadcast the event live. In his rendition of Haggard's Are the Good Times Really Over for Good, Boswell sings, well, the following lyrics.
All you Wall Street bankers, as far as I'm concerned, you can all go to hell.
Yeah. All right.
You can't get married, you stupid gays and queers. So why don't you go somewhere else?
Well, there you go. And good sense on the part of the band, too, to perform that live in front of, like, you ain't going to have a hit record, man, but I bet you'll sell a few CDs. All right, we'll be back with Robert Green from Fraser Foods on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
No, I'm not doing it.
Go for the record.
No.
World record. Guinness Book of World Records.
But this grandparent says he just chalks it up as kids being kids.
Yeah, I suppose I can understand why they're upset. And you know, honestly, I didn't cross my mind.
The services, the Army commander, the Soxent, chose to send them all to court-martial.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
You blew it!
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. Adam Lambert will not apologize for his raunchy performance, and hacked emails might expose a conspiracy to push global warming. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Thanks again to Dr. Michael Stone. Always great to have the doc on here for our crime night. We're going to be talking again about the Adam Lambert situation. He gave an interview today, in which he says that he might have gotten carried away, but he is not sorry for his behavior. We will have Pastor William Rennick on to talk with us about this. It's something that bears further discussion. Lambert admits he got carried away with his sexually charged American Music Awards performance, but he's offering no apologies. The so-called glam rocker. And that's what David Bowder at AP calls a glam rocker. There ain't been no glam rockers around, man, since freaking Ziggy What's-His-Ass.
Ziggy Stardust and David Bowie and Ziggy Stardust.
That's what I was thinking of. In any event, why? Because the guy is, why? Because he's gay? That's why he's a glam rocker. There you go.
That's prejudicial.
Yeah, take it easy, will you, bud? Just back off of me. Adam Lambert admits he got carried away with his sexually charged American music performance. He's offering no apologies. The runner-up in American Idol said on the early show that his performance... They had him on the early show, by the way, folks, because ABC would not have his gay ass on their network any longer. I'm joking. But...
That's why, though.
Anyway, he said that his performance would not have caused as much controversy if he wasn't openly gay. He also said there were other adult moments on the show that caused no outrage. So what's up with, you know, why are people screaming at him for what he done and like that? Here is Adam Lambert this morning on CBS This Morning with Maggie Rodriguez. He says he didn't do anything wrong. Well, we'll be the judge of that.
You know, I was really looking forward to it. I worked really hard with my dancers and my band for about 2 weeks putting that together. And I admit I did get carried away, but I don't see anything wrong with it. I do see how people got offended, and that was not my intention. My intention was just to interpret the lyrics of my song and have a good time up there.
Did you plan, when you were rehearsing, did you include those sexually charged moves in the rehearsal?
Those kind of came from more of a impromptu place. No, those were not rehearsed. So, you know, I think ABC was taken a little... by surprise, and that wasn't my intention. I wasn't being sneaky. It got the most of me, I guess.
We're going to get Pastor William Rennick on the line from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. Pastor Rennick, and welcome home, sir.
Thank you, sir. We got back yesterday morning, and we had a wonderful time.
You were in the Holy Land, right?
We did a whirlwind. Our church, Joyful Union, did a whirlwind. In fact, we're looking at the videotape of what we did and who we met wonderful people in the Middle East. And I would encourage your audience, before we talk about what we talk about tonight, I would encourage your audience to pray for the good people in the Middle East, all the Christians, all the Muslim people, everyone that lives in this very tortured part of the world, because I can tell you, having been there, I know that these people want peace every bit as much as anybody else.
Of course. I guess it goes without saying, doesn't it?
I think we need to recognize that, yeah.
Well, you heard Adam Lambert there. We're going to play one more piece of sound, and I know you have a very, maybe an unusual point of view for a man of the cloth. Here is Adam Lambert now, and he's going to be talking about the children viewing and what it was that he was feeling knowing that there might be kids watching the show.
Yeah, I suppose I can understand why they're upset, and you know, honestly, it didn't cross my mind, children. It was almost 11 o'clock. I didn't, you know, it was a nighttime show. I was there in the audience full of mostly adults. And sometimes I forget, oh, there's a camera on. I come from the theater, and I'm programmed to kind of look at who's in the live audience, and that's kind of where I come from. And so I was looking out in the crowd and saw some of my favorite pop stars and thought, I want to let loose. And
right,
it
so
just kind of got the best of me. And
there is Adam Lambert talking there, Pastor Renick. You know that you said to me earlier that he said that for public consumption. Is that correct?
And I know this young man because I did some work, and I have members of my congregation who are in the entertainment business. Adam Lambert was very, very much aware that there were children in the audience, and what he did on Sunday night, I think, was an act of Christian charity. And let me explain what I mean by that. Adam Lambert was very aware of the fact that there are a lot of parents that do not oversee the children, you know what I mean?
When they're watching television.
When they're watching television, yeah. Adam Lambert decided that he needed to prove to America that we've got a generation of parents that are not paying attention to the children. And so he made the conscious decision to engage in this very shocking, you know, some people call it outrageous act, so that the outrage would be registered. You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
So that there would be outrage over this, the simulated sex acts, the gay expressions of affection?
Absolutely, and so that when that outrage is registered, we come to know that there are people saying children were exposed to this. Adam Lambert wanted that message to get out. And I've got to tell you something. And I may be the only Christian minister, pastor, reverend in the world of spreading the gospel, that believes that this young man, this gay young man, did something that was so Christian.
Now, let's hold on for a minute.
No, wait. Did something that was so Christian that we owe him a debt of gratitude.
You're saying that he consciously...
Oh, absolutely, yes.
He consciously did perform this way so that there would be shock from people about children being exposed to it.
Right there. That's exactly right. And the reason why he wanted that message to get out is because he wants people to know that while people will call up the TV station and say, I don't want my child exposed to Adam Lambert, I don't want my child exposed to homosexual, they're admitting their child did get exposed to homosexual, and their child up late. And that is a comment on the quality of parenting that we have in America today. And so this gay young man, this gay young performer, decided to take it into his onto himself, you know, to make that point. And I'm so sorry that people I'm not understanding that. That's why I agreed to come on your program tonight, because I want people to know this young man as I feel I've come to know him.
Well, you know him as a gay man, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And he's a performer, but you're saying that he also has a larger social conscience.
Well, yeah, got very, very much a part of the world. You know, I think every artist, every singer, every dancer, every actor, every artist, every writer, they all got to be part of the world. If we're part of the world, and that means that you reflect the world, you know. And so he decided And he's taking a lot of heat for it now, you know.
Well, I'd say so, because the message is that Adam Lambert engaged in this conduct without any thought to how many children would be watching.
Absolutely false.
Absolutely false.
Absolutely false. Adam Lambert did what he did knowing.
Well,
knowing. You got to understand what I'm saying here, Phil. Knowing that there would be repercussions.
But he was willing to accept the repercussions to get the message out. What? What's the message that Adam Lambert was attempting to get out?
Adam Lambert did a courageous thing. He was performing a public service. If you're a Christian and you don't accept the act of Adam Lambert showing America, all the children that are up late, that don't have parental supervision, that look at a gay, what Adam Lambert does, a gay, doing a gay kiss, and doing that gay act with a man, this I have to say, and I challenge anybody as a Christian, this makes being gay, what I say to my wife, I say to Clarence, this makes being gay okay, you know.
And this makes being gay okay because of this service.
Because this was a very Christian service. You know, he was providing kids, he was proving the kids were watching without parental supervision. Parents were not smart enough to explain what was going on to the kids. And so all they do is they call up the TV station and say, I just seen a gay man. You know how these people get excited, you know?
Okay.
You know, I well imagine they call up the network or the TV station and say, Lord, I just seen a gay on my television screen.
Well, Pastor...
Hold on for a minute. Because you got to understand something. This is the way the American people are. The way a lot of people are, you know. Doesn't matter what country. They call up and say, God Almighty, God forgive me, I've seen a gay man on my television.
Right.
A gay man, he kissed another man on my television.
Mm-hmm.
And my child watched a gay.
Right.
This gay is on my TV, and this gay is on there, and he's kissing on another man. And why is that happening? You say to them, how come your child is awake looking at a gay? Yeah.
I got you.
Exactly. Now, when you call a TV station, you say, I've seen a gay and a man kissing another man. There ain't nobody at TV station going to say to you, how come your child is up? Why are you not looking after what your child is looking on television? Nobody at TV station is going to say that to you because they don't want to lose you as a viewer. But Adam Lambert recognized that when you had that outrage that is, publicized like this.
That people are going to take notice.
People are going to take notice, exactly. And they say, God forgive me, may Jesus come off the cross, strike me dead. There's a gay on my television set right now. And nobody says, well, there might be a gay on your TV. So how come your child is watching that? What are you thinking as a parent? You let that child watch that. And so Adam Lambert, I think, has been done a grave disservice by ABC and the Good Morning America, all this, by not recognizing that what that young man did was a Christian thing.
Boy, you're gonna. Anytime you mention gay and Christian,
I don't. You know something, Phil? Adam Lambert is a hero to Christianity as much as Jesus is a savior. Adam Lambert, a hero to Christianity.
Boy, every time you put gay and Christian in the same sentence, you're bound to get people upset.
You know something? I made my mark in this business at spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care what another man thinks.
Well, we got to...
Hold on. I don't care what another man thinks. I don't care what another preacher thinks. I don't care to pass the two churches down thing. Pass another city thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
All I care about is bringing as many people as I can to the word of Jesus Christ. All I care about bringing as many people as I can to God. And if Adam Lambert, a gay, can bring people to God like he's done this weekend, then I feel that I've done a great service. I think Adam Lambley, he done a great service too.
All right, Pastor William Rennick joins us. Hold the line here, Pastor. Always interesting to have him as he talks about Adam Lambert's openly gay behavior on television the other night, actually exposing children who are up late without parental supervision. And in point of fact, what Adam Lambert did was a Christian thing, exposing the lack of supervision and the, shall we say, the vulnerability of kids who are watching television at night. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, remember he said that's a Christian.
Well, he said Adam Lambert is a hero to Christianity as much as Jesus is our Savior. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Pastor William Renick, talking about Adam Lambert and the heroic thing he did the other night of the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You get the gay on the gay, right?
Hold on for a minute, Pastor.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, yeah, oh Lord, Adam.
On the line with me right now is Pastor William Renick of Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. As we talk about Adam Lambert, I think you're the only Christian minister, I think you're the only person I've heard say at all, Pastor Renick, that Adam Lambert did a Christian thing by performing the way he did, because it exposed the number of children who were at home without supervision, or the number of people saying that their children were scandalized.
Well, you know, I think it is very interesting to see a parent call up a TV station and say, how dare you put Adam Lambert on my TV? How dare you put that gay out there? Because they're admitting, they're saying, my child was up, and I was not supervising the program that my child watched. Adam Lambert is my opinion, every bit as much a servant to Christianity, every bit as much a hero to Christianity, as Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know. And
well, you're not equating Adam Lambert with Jesus.
I'm not equating Adam Lambert with Jesus. No, I'm not. How do you get that?
And well, you're making this large statement.
I'm saying that Adam Lambert, he did what Jesus would do. If Jesus had been on that stage...
No, hold on.
No, wait, you hold on. If Jesus had been on that stage on Sunday night, and Jesus was dancing and singing, and had on, you know, tight pants and everything, and he'd kiss a man. I do believe Jesus kissed a man so he could send a message out that look at all the children been scandalized by that act. We've got to have parents that are awake and supervising their children. You don't go blaming Adam Lambert on that. I think Jesus, if he'd been on the stage, do the same thing.
If Jesus had been on the stage, he'd kiss a man.
I think if Jesus do anything to bring people closer to the truth, including getting himself nailed up, which he did do. You're aware of that, right?
Of course I am.
All right.
Of course I am. I think that there are people who may, I don't know, believe certain things of Jesus and others they don't. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Melody on the Phil Hendry Show in Greenville, North Carolina. Melody, good evening and welcome. You're on with Pastor William Renick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Pastor. I was just wondering, do you want Adam Lambert to come to your church Sunday morning and do the same kind of stuff he was doing on TV?
Well, you don't have to do that, darling, because in my church, people pay attention to what their children are watching. I'm talking about in America where they are not paying attention to what the children are watching, and they call up the TV station and say, look at that gay, he scandalized my children. Well, what's your children doing watching that? You see what I'm saying?
Right, okay, you've made that point already many times.
Right.
My children didn't
watch it. You asked me a question like you asked.
I don't want to watch it. I don't know any adults that want to watch it. It has nothing to do with children. And how can you say that what he did is going to bring people to God? Who was brought to God by seeing that the other night?
Everybody today, my understanding is everybody today, all they can talk about is how the children got scandalized. And what got the children. You an adult, you can turn it off. You understand what it is.
That's right.
But a child what's going to happen to you? Are you going to go to the devil because you've seen that?
Absolutely not. But
why are you worried about that? Why are you worried about seeing it? You know you got God's love.
I wasn't that worried about it until I heard you on the radio equating him with my Savior and saying that this kind of crap that he was doing would bring people to Christ. That this has something to do with
you're getting everything screwed up. No, you got the whole thing bad backwards. You did not hear what I said. I said if Jesus been on that stage, Jesus, and yet if he's wearing a shiny suit, Jesus would...
Well, Pastor, can I interrupt you? Let's forget about if Jesus had been on that stage.
I don't think he would have been doing what Adam Lambert was doing. And if you
if he wa- that, if he wanted to expose... The children are exposed to television they shouldn't watch. That's the point he's trying to make, you see. Now, if you see it,
Jesus,
and you said you've seen that man,
exposed to that. I don't think.
Wait, I want to ask this young lady. I got
exposed to it.
Phil, I got to ask this young lady a question, okay?
Very quickly.
Right. You say you don't want to be exposed to that, yet you tell me that you're Christian. Then why are you worried about? Then why are you worried about being exposed to that?
What do you mean?
Ain't got no answer to that one, do you? I knew it.
I don't think it's a good thing. That means I'm not a Christian.
Let that one answer. Wait. You are exposed to that, but you are afraid of being exposed to the devil. But not if you're Christian. You got God's love protecting you. So why do you care whether you're exposed to it or not?
You're totally wrong.
Yeah.
You're totally wrong. I got you on that one. To make a choice of what I think is right or not.
And you can turn the TV off.
With something does not mean that I'm a hater. It does not mean that I am.
I didn't call you that. I didn't call you a hater. I just said you can turn the channel.
What you're
right.
Insinuating.
Oh, man, I didn't say, you know something. Oh, you got that all figured out in your head before you call me. Yeah, the little speech you're going to give. Let me tell you something. Jesus.
Listen, I didn't have a
yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got that all figured out.
I'm just kidding. I hear you. I bet y'all know what you done.
You said there's a gay on my television set, and you got to get that gay off. Oh, yeah.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, yeah.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, as we have with us Pastor William Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation on the issue of Adam Lambert, the continuing controversy about his performance Sunday night at the American Music Awards, where he engaged in open gay affection with another man, simulated some kind of oral sex. Pastor Rennick, you've said some very controversial things here. You're talking about Adam Lambert being a hero to Christianity because, in your mind, his act created such outrage that it draws attention to the number of children watching television unsupervised.
That's absolutely correct.
You didn't address what the last lady said. What about adults that are shocked by it?
No. That's the fallback position. Let me tell you something. They know they can't say, I was shocked by that. They've got to say the children were shocked by that. Because if you're an adult, you can turn a channel. If you're an adult, you can look at it, and if you're a Christian, it's not going to bother you at all. You can look at that and say, I'm a Christian. I don't let the devil in my heart, you know. Now, I'm saying I call on every Christian. You gave out the phone number, right, Phil, on the program here?
Yeah.
Can I give you a phone number out?
Go ahead.
I want every Christian brother and sister to open his arms to Adam Lambert and other homosexuals. And I'm going to say something very controversial, but I don't say this because of controversy. I say this because it'll open a door of light, you know.
Right.
It lets in some light. You know, what we need in the room is light. You know, we don't need no more darkness. We've got to have light. And I call, and the phone number here, 877-876-PHIL. And I call on Christian brother and sister, open your arms to Adam Lambert and other homosexuals. For they're not just committing acts of sodomy, but acts of Christian service.
But that's going to be very...
Hold on. I'm speaking right now. I've got the Spirit in me. I'm speaking now. That your man, by kissing that other man on television and engaging in a gay sex act, allowed the light to shine on the numbers of children that are watching television without parental supervision. Unprotected, vulnerable children. So remember that number, 877-876-2. All right, so I'm sorry, but I wanted to say that.
You call on every Christian brother and sister to open his arms to Adam Lambert and other homosexuals, not just for committing acts of sodomy, but acts of Christian service.
What is it? You're repeating it back? I said it. I already said it. Good.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to go to a phone call here. We have on the line Roger. Roger, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Pastor William Rennick. Go ahead.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. I am a pastor here on the East Coast near Boston, Massachusetts. This is the most incredible
thing.
Hey, can I finish my sentence, sir?
Well, I want to ask you what church you're with. That's all. I just asked you what church you're with. That's all.
I'm with Central Baptist Church in Middleborough, Massachusetts.
Central
Baptist Church. Yep, I'm part of a denomination, a conservative denomination, but I can't believe it. You know, I agree with you that we need to let the light shine, and what the light does is it exposes the darkness. And, you know, if Jesus were on that stage, I think I know what he would say, a lot different than and what he would do, a lot different than what you said he would say and do. He would say, Adam, I love you, but go and sin no more. Adam, go. He even admitted he wasn't even thinking about the children when he did this. It is incredulous.
Let me. Of course he's got to say that. He's got to say that. You got to understand, brother, he's got to say that for public consumption. But I know this young man. And I know he cares about people.
Well,
he cares
about
children.
Care about people, and I don't know this young man. But I know that it was not a Christian act.
Good man.
And to equate him as a hero, as Jesus is the Savior, to me, Reverend, you need to look into your Bible because it borders on blasphemy to me.
Whoa. You know as well as I do, we've had many a hero down through the ages in the Christian faith. I'm not saying that they are Jesus Christ. I'm saying we've had many a martyr, we've had many a hero, many a great person who spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all I'm saying.
And all of us everybody up to
and you know as well as I do, you and I are not the only two that spread the gospel. Sometimes even the sinner spread the gospel a little bit.
Well, yeah, even the devil believes, but I don't want him spreading the gospel. I'd rather do it.
Well, that's a little egotistical. You see, you're choosing.
You.
Well, no. You're choosing the instrument. You're not letting God choose the instrument. See?
Yeah. Well, you're assuming that God chose the instrument of Adam Lambert, and if anything sounds egotistical, that sounds it to me. And this is not a Christian behavior at all. And to equate it with that is blasphemy.
Well, I wasn't talking about me being the one that's the instrument of God. You talk about you being the instrument of God.
Sir, probably one of the few people in the Christian community who says that Adam Lambert is the instrument of God. That's what you've said.
Yes, absolutely. And I would ask you, brother, to open your eyes to the possibility that Jesus used that young man the other night.
I would ask
show
you
the world.
To open your eyes that Jesus did not use that young man the other night.
That's by the book, man. That's by the book, you know. That's too static. You got to look outside.
When you're talking about on the radio, and you're saying that any Christian should admit that that God used him. God did. You know what? God could use anyone that he wants. He even used Balaam's ass in the Bible. But I'd rather
him. That's too rigid, man. That's by the book. You got to understand that you and I.
Well, I hate to tell you that pastor who goes by the book.
Of course you go by the book.
That's what I was going to say, that Pastor Rennick. By the book, in this case, is the Bible.
Oh, don't get off.
The Bible
says, that
those acts that Adam Lambert was simulating the other night is an abomination to the Lord if you go by that book. Now, loves homosexuals. God loves homosexuals, but God also loves murderers and liars. And if a murderer...
Wait. I want to know...
Can you let me finish my sentence?
I want to know...
If a murderer comes on TV, should we thank God for using a murderer? My heavens,
it depends on what good comes from the murderer being on TV. Is there good to come from the murderer being on TV? Does it keep a young person from murder? Does it keep a young person from a life of crime? Does it keep a young person from becoming like that?
I don't think we as Christians should be wanting sin glorified on the television. And now
we're not glorifying sin. See, you guys are getting all dramatic on me. When I said... by the book. I don't mean by the Bible. I mean by the book.
At least you can let
a lot of these guys.
You know, I do think that you should let Roger, who has called in Pastor Rennick.
You haven't given me 5 minutes to finish anything I've got.
I've been funny. Listening to you talking.
What's that? What time?
It's 2:42 a.m. here.
where's that?
Roger, finish your thought.
I'm just thinking it's incredulous to me to, you know, God can use anything. Like I said, he used Balaam's ass in the Bible. But can I finish my sentence, Reverend?
You talk about someone's ass. You talk about a man's ass.
I'm talking about donkey. Do you know the story in the Bible about Balaam's donkey? What I'm trying to say, if I can finish it, is God could use anyone to spread his message, but the men and women and young people he's chosen to spread his message are the people who love him with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul. All of us are sinners, like Adam is, and all of us need God's grace and forgiveness. But what Jesus would say is not to glorify the sin, but he would say, go and sin no more. That's what the Bible teaches. Well, now, ain't that... You got God... you got him all sussed out. You're telling everybody what God... First of all, you talk about what the Bible teaches.
No, you're telling me what you say. Why don't you tell me what the Bible says?
Nothing in the Bible says a man can't kiss another man on the lips.
Oh my heavens, I got you there. Did you go to school? No, it don't say nothing in there
about kissing a man on the lips. It says lay down. Say lay down, can't lay down. Now, when you say, all right, when you say that, forget what you said there about that ass. You say that's a story in the Bible. That's fine.
Balaam's donkey. I know the story.
But there's a child listening tonight that thinks you're talking about a man's ass.
Oh, come on, Pastor. No. Roger explained the story. He said it was out of the Bible.
No, but I'm saying there's a child think you on the air talking about a man's ass. And we talking about
him being used as a servant of God. But listen, it's 3 a.m. here. I don't know. What time is it over there? 1 a.m.? How many children are listening? You know what? Balaam's donkey, kids. I'm talking about Balaam's donkey. Ass is a King James Version word for donkey.
It's too late. No, it's too late now.
What you have done more harm for the name of Jesus Christ by what you said about Adam Lambert than I said about using the synonym for donkey as ass. You've done more harm for the name of Christ than Adam Lambert has done.
No, brother, you saying that because you got the backpedal away from talking about a man's ass.
I don't know where you get your list of reverence to represent Jesus Christ, but I would take him off the list.
Well, Roger, I would love to have you on the program.
Hold the phone from what do you mean?
I would be happy to be on your list.
I'd like to have you on our program.
Well, what do you mean him? I've been on the program. I'm the preacher on this show. And I tell you, I ain't saying you're talking about a man.
Show me your contract, Reverend. You're not representing Jesus Christ. I don't know who you're representing, but it isn't him. Or it isn't he.
I'd like to say to the children listening tonight.
Bill, if you want my number, I'm happy to give it to you.
It wasn't talked.
Okay.
The pastor.
I would like to have.
The two of you guys just shut up for a minute. Let me finish.
Don't tell me to shut up on my show.
It's my show,
yeah.
Just asking the two of you to. Would you stick a sock in it for five seconds is all I
have.
You know something? Don't tell me to shut up on my show.
I'd like to apologize to children. Who was saying, I heard a man say, and yeah, a guy's ass, and I think it's wrong. And
you know full well what he was saying. What you're doing is you're seizing on that because the pastor is far more conversant with the Bible than you are.
No, he isn't, because he said, I think it's incredulous. That's the wrong use of the word incredulous. He should have said, I think it's incredible. I'm incredulous.
Incredulous means unbelievable, my educated friend. You blew it there.
Number two. Let's talk about this ass.
All right. Listen, very good call tonight, Roger. Appreciate it very much. I'm going to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's unbelievable. You need to get Pastor Renick a little bit under control. I understand what it is he's trying to say.
What are you talking about a man's ass?
No, he was not.
I heard Phil. This is Pastor Renick.
I don't want to talk to you right now. No, he wasn't, and he had Pastor Renick got it wrong. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Renick.
What a chip!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock out here at the El Pacifico. And a very happy, happy Thanksgiving. The early hours, a lot of you guys are staying up late. Some folks are out driving, And we're talking with Pastor William Renick in the final segment here about Adam Lambert, the behavior on stage the other night. And you've made the statement that this was a Christian act because it showed how outraged people would be over children being exposed to it, which shows that children are not being supervised.
Let me say something. You know, I'm sorry the pastor's not here, because Pastor Roger, I wanted to ask him, wouldn't he agree that Jesus was a controversial man in his time? Would you agree that Jesus was a controversial man in his time?
Talk about Jesus.
No, I'm talking about Jesus.
All right, yes.
Okay. So, too, is Adam Lambert a controversial figure being a servant of God? Every man that makes a change in the behavior to the positive of society is a controversial figure. Now, let me tell you what a sin is. Adam Lambert get on stage, he kiss a man. People call up and say, "There's gay on my TV. There's a gay on my TV. My child's all gay. Well, you're gay." And they think that that's a sin. I'll tell you what a sin is. Didn't you tell me the other night you made a midnight run to Spud Nuts?
No, I did not.
See, I knew you were going to lie about it, because you told me off the air you made a midnight run to Spud Nuts.
What's that got to do with anything?
Because you lied. You lied. You lied because I knew that you were on that Metafast diet. And then you said, "Oh, yeah, the other night I'm at a midnight run to Spud Nut." And then you lie and you say, "No, I did not," you know.
What are you telling this on the air for? I made a midnight run to Spud Nuts to get donuts for somebody else, okay?
Sure you did. Sure you did. Of course. I made a midnight run to Spud Nuts to get donuts for somebody else. Ah! Now, that's a sin.
That is not...
That is a sin. That's a sin against God. That's a sin against God's commandment.
It is not a sin.
Are you a preacher?
It's not what?
Are you a preacher?
No, I'm not.
I am. I'm telling you that's a sin. I am a preacher. And as a preacher, I am the intermediary between you and God.
No, you're not. You're a man of the word.
Well, hold on. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm higher up. I'm not saying I'm God. I'm not God, but I'm higher up than you. You're not a man of God. You don't study the Bible. You're not in the church talking on it. I'm in the church talking on it. I get the Spirit every Sunday. So I'm higher up, see? And I'll tell you right now, you lied. You lied. Oh, baby. Did you ever lie? When you said to me, didn't you say...
I did not. I said...
You said, and I'll say it the way you said it. You said, "Hey, preach it on the night. I made a midnight run to Spud Nut."
No, I didn't say it like that.
The hell you did?
I did not say it like that. I mean, midnight run to Spud Nut.
Well, didn't you tell me you went to Spud Nuts?
I didn't say it like it's some... I said somebody sent me out for donuts.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're going to burn. Oh.
You're not enough of a preacher to tell me whether I'm going to burn or not.
I'll tell you what. I'm enough of a preacher to tell you that Adam Lambert is not going to burn.
Well, that's what Pastor Rogers said. He didn't say Adam Lambert was going to burn.
They're going to be a side of gay served up in hell as soon as they pull him off the pit. You didn't hear that.
What?
He said, as soon as they pull Lambert off the spit in hell, a side of gay for everybody. You didn't hear that.
He never said any such thing. You are lying now, and you're going to burn in hell. How do you feel about that?
Phil, you are not a preacher. You can't make that call.
Yeah, well, you can't either, because you're not God. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Robert in Houston, Texas. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Renick. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Listen, I was extremely offended by that thing. I didn't see it directly, but I saw it on YouTube and on the mm-hmm. internet. I hate mm-hmm. that thing, and mm-hmm. it was very offensive to me. Now, listen, I live in Houston, but I am a liberal Democrat. But I don't want to see that nonsense on TV because it offends me. And it offends
me. Why are you looking for it then, brother? Why are you seeking it out on YouTube?
I am not seeking it out. It
you said you've seen it on YouTube. It don't show up on
American Music Awards, and
you
it
say
shows
you saw
up.
It? No, you said, said you've seen it on YouTube. You said you saw it on YouTube. That means you got to search it.
I saw it first, and I couldn't believe it, and then I checked it out on YouTube.
Yeah,
and
why?
I couldn't believe it. I thought that I could not believe this is real.
Why would you check it out on YouTube if you knew?
He said he wanted to check it out, okay?
All these Christians, and they say that they're getting offended. If you are covered in the grace of God, you shouldn't be aware.
I wanted to see Mr. Lambaracci, which I wanted to see, but I didn't expect this explicit homosexual.
That Lambaracci, what was that? You trying to be funny? Lambaracci, what's that mean?
Everybody calls that
Liberace
on the internet.
Let me tell you what. You looking for that? That scares me.
No,
excuse me. Why are you looking
at that? You can go.
Why are you looking to be
the internet?
People need to be educated. Yes. Everybody needs to be educated, Pastor.
Yeah, but why is this man seeking it out if he says he's scandalized?
I am not seeking it out. I did not seek out two guys kissing each other.
Oh, you just told me you did. You said you want to look that up. You know?
No. You're
Yeah, he did. He said that he wanted to make sure he could believe his eyes because it was a shocking thing to see on television.
I don't get it how these Christians
are
exactly all afraid.
Correct, Bill. That is exactly correct. And Reverend Howard's
Christians are afraid. No, you watched it 5 times in a row, didn't you?
No,
I did. What difference does it make if he did?
No, I did not.
You know,
I watched it one more time just because I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought it was very offensive. Now,
there's an old saying, if it walks like a duck and it goes through the grass like a snake,
then it's a snake.
It's a duck. It's one of two things, a snake or a duck.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
You watched it 5 times in a row.
I did not
watch
it 5 times.
Because in some deep recess of your mind.
You know what? I'm not going to allow you to keep saying that. The gentleman said no, he didn't.
In the deep recesses of his mind.
I watched it once to verify.
To verify what he saw, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. I hope you're right. I hope you're telling the truth, because I'd hate to think.
I am telling the truth.
You go gay as a result of seeing that tape. I'm Pastor William Redd.
I'll lock it out. I'm Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show.
What an idiot.
Phil Hendry.
Dr. Ron Connor coming up next.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The company does have a dress code policy in place that states that we do not allow...
Well, it is a big use of water to produce meat. It's easy to produce crops, but
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi speaking in Sunrise yesterday, saying it's time
for... I did town hall meetings this last weekend in my district.
Blah, 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 blah.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, a groundbreaking presentation on radio across America and around the world here. The only news talk and entertainment show where news is our bitch and truth is our bitch, really.
Yeah, news is the bitch.
News is the bitch we use. Truth is, well, in any event, truth is our bitch, and welcome to our program. And you can visit us online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, where you can look at a live streaming video of our program tonight, as well as... listen to the live streaming audio. This evening we'll be dealing with the stories that you guys are familiar with. Of course, the Northwest Airlines, the healthcare, all the sniping that's going on. There's some real ugly stuff happening. This cat Grayson, he's really going ape. And we've got some news about the various networks, because the media has become the story more than anything else. The media, the way the media reports things, the way that the various networks have devolved, in some people's opinions, devolved into... talk radio station. So we're going to talk a lot about that as well. We also bring on the line here right now Robert Green. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. Mr. Green has been a frequent contributor on matters having to do with employment and hiring and the economy. And Bob, thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you, and we appreciate the. Help you get Fraser Foods as well.
Well, the reason why I've got you on the air is because of the hotel owner telling his Hispanic workers to change their names. You heard the story.
I'm familiar with it. Yes, I am.
And the story is interesting. We mentioned it briefly yesterday. Larry Witten, he marched into his northern New Mexico town in late July on a mission. He wanted to resurrect a failing hotel. The tough-talking former Marine immediately laid down some new rules, and among them, he forbade the Hispanic workers at the rundown southwestern adobe-style hotel from speaking Spanish in the presence. He thought they'd be talking about him.
in his presence, because he thought they'd be talking about him, and ordered some to anglicize their names. So they couldn't speak Spanish in his presence, and he ordered some to anglicize their names, so they couldn't call themselves Martin. It was plain. They couldn't call themselves Martine.
Right.
So they had to use Martin. No more Marcos. Now it would be Mark. Now, Witten says he immediately noticed that the employees were hostile to his management style, and he worried they might start talking about him in Spanish. And because of that, I asked the people in my presence to speak only English, because I do not understand Spanish. And I've been working 24 years in Texas, and we have a lot of Spanish people there. I've never had to ask anyone to speak only English in front of me, because I've never had a reason to. So we want to listen to an interview here with Mr. Witten.
Phil, just to the point of people speaking Spanish, I think it goes to manners. I think it goes to, if you've got manners and you will speak English in front of an English-speaking person, if you don't have any manners, I think it's very rude, frankly, especially a man who's paying your paycheck, who basically, if he wasn't there, you wouldn't be feeding your family, or you know, feeding your niños, and because a lot of us speak Spanish. I speak Spanish. I just don't like people speaking it in front of me.
All right, let me for the benefit of my audience here, let's listen to Mr. Witten. This was an interview that he did on CNN, facing a rather hostile anchor here while discussing one of his policies. Again, this is Mr. Larry Witten.
I'm here. My name's Jane Velez Mitchell. I hope you don't mind if I keep using the word Velez in my name. Did you or did you not tell somebody whose name was Martin to say that his name was Martin?
Yes, ma'am. I was answering your question of why
just answer that question, though. Did you ask him to change his name and anglicize his name? Did you ask anyone to anglicize their name?
Yes, I asked Martin to change it to Martin.
Why?
To better understand it over the telephone.
You can't understand Martin? Now, how do you treat the customers when they come in? Do you ask them also to change their names? Like, if I came in with Jane Velez Mitchell so that you could better understand my name, would you ask me to change it?
No, ma'am.
It's ludicrous, sir.
No,
it's
ma'am.
Ludicrous
and you
what
didn't
you did, and you should just apologize and say that you made a mistake.
What do you think of that?
I don't know what to make of that. She asked the question of how they treat the customers that I'd like to address, but I wouldn't let any news. She's on television, that lady?
Yeah.
You don't let somebody on television talk to you that way. You own a business. People on television, they're I wouldn't even give them the respect you would accord somebody that's taken out the trash.
Okay, well, I mean, it's well said. It is well said. I don't know if I agree with that or not. Two former employees explain how they were fired.
Without warning, he fired us, you know, and there was a bunch of employees that he fired, and he brought his own employees from Texas, you know, and I've worked this job with many owners for 5 years, and never has this happened to me, sir.
I was asked to change my name to Mark or Bill, and I wasn't comfortable with that, so I just stayed with Marcos, and they said that I was rude and that I was unlawful, so they fired me. Like, they never called me back to go back into work, and I thought that was unfair to me because I was just there to do my job.
And here is CNN's Rick Sanchez, who comes to the defense of the hotel owner.
Rick, what if someone said to you, Rick Sanchez, your name, it just doesn't sound right, people won't understand it, we're going to change it to Rick Sanford. Let's go now to Rick Sanford.
My real name is Ricardo León Sánchez de Reynaldo.
Okay.
And I don't use it because I want to be respectful of this wonderful country that allowed us as Hispanics to come here. And I think it's easier if someone's able to understand me by anglicizing my name.
But and Sanchez all he said is was, not anglicizing
well,
your name.
Let me finish my point. When I was listening to the conversation, I heard him say, I don't do that with all employees, only people who man the switchboard, to make it easier for them to have conversations with prospective clients who are trying to call in. It didn't
Rick,
sound to me like he was being unreasonable with that demand.
Well, all right, Bob, you heard all of that. You're a business owner. What do you think?
Well, first of all, my congratulations to this man that was just talking, Mr. Sanchez, I believe is his name, and he understands that he lives in America. This is the United States of America. We speak English here.
Well, we also speak Spanish.
No, I don't speak Spanish. Do you speak Spanish?
Well, what I meant to say is there's a lot of people who do speak Spanish.
Well, there's a lot of people that speak a lot of things, though, but the official language, not the official, but the language we speak is Spanish. Now, or English, I should say. And you have this guy, Mr. Sanchez, who recognizes that and is going to speak English, and he's going to make his name easy for people to say, because he doesn't want to be rude, and I believe in that. Now, I wanted to make a point, though, about the store that I have and the way that I relate to my customers, if I could.
Certainly. And we've got plenty of time, Bob, so I'm going to give the number out here, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Tell me about how you deal with customers, how you deal with employees.
I believe that in America, I've got American customers. That's whether they're English-speaking or not, they're American customers. And what I've tried to do is make shopping as easy and as pleasant for them as I possibly can. There's a lot of arguing about whether we should speak Spanish, whether we shouldn't speak Spanish. All I know is I've got to service my customers. To that end, we have taken them a lot of the foods, whether they are prepackaged items like these tortilla chips. I've got customers, and most Americans want that to be referred to as a corn chip. That's what it is. It's a corn chip. The people that come into my store and go into other stores, especially around the country, you can't confuse them. And so,
What? You're calling tortilla chips corn chips?
We call them corn chips because the people that are speaking English in this country, the English-speaking American, is already confused enough having to do with all of this conversation about immigration and Mexicans and so forth. So I call it a corn chip. We don't say it's salsa. We say that it's just regular tomato dip. We don't call it a tortilla. We say it's flat cornbread. So that when one of my customers comes in who's an English-speaking customer, which most of them are, they'll know where everything is. If I say, well, those are tortillas, most of the people are going to say, I don't know what is a tortilla, or what is, I don't know what you mean by a tortilla chip.
Now, does it matter to you if I say to you, I know what that stuff is?
Well, Phil, you may, but you're in the media, so you're well-versed on a lot of these things. Most people, when you say to them, would you like a tortilla, they don't know what that is. And because they're Americans, because they speak English, I believe in anglicizing these names. You've got things called, like, chow mein. We don't say chow mein. We say these are noodles. They're Chinese noodles. We don't say quesadilla. We say that it's melted cheese on a flatbread sandwich, because that's really what it is. A quesadilla is a flatbread sandwich that's melted. I have respect for my English-speaking customers, in other words.
Are you really respecting your customers? If you say in your store you sell not tortilla chips but corn chips.
Well, I do respect my customers. I'm not going to start telling them a lot of fancy Spanish words that they don't want to hear. Okay?
Yeah, but I mean, don't you think that most people know what salsa is?
When you say most people don't, no, they don't know what most people don't know what salsa is. They know it's that spicy tomato dip that you put the corn chip in. Or they might say, do you have that hot tomato chili type sauce that you can put on the flatbread cheese sandwich? And I know immediately they're talking about the quesadilla. And
so when Americans come into the store, you're talking about, not just English speakers.
Well, I'm dealing with Americans. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about Americans. The customer nowadays needs everything. We got to dumb a lot of stuff down for our English-speaking American customers because they have been inundated with immigration this, and I got a day laborer here, and they've been inundated. So we try to dumb it down because we want them to have a comfortable shopping experience. And
all right, when you talk about Chinese food, this would be not just Mexican food, Chinese food, Japanese food.
Japanese food as well. When you say, I had the Japanese food supplier come in, and he said that we have the teriyaki. I said, you're not going to call it teriyaki. Not in my store you don't call it teriyaki. He said, well, what do we call it? I said, you need to repackage it somehow so that it reflects an English-speaking customer.
So what do you call teriyaki then?
Teriyaki is simply if I've got it right, it's like a crisped up, you know, you bread meat and you crisp it up and put some Japanese spice or stuff on it, you know.
And well, what do you call teriyaki mix then?
We just call it a Japanese. It's Japanese food. And
Japanese food.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what it is. It's Japanese food.
But there are different Japanese foods, and that's, in other words, there is.
Well, Phil, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry, but
that's all right.
No, there isn't. To the average American, we hold on to our English language and we hold on to our American culture, and I start throwing all kinds of fancy names like teriyaki. It's Japanese sauce, is what it is. And most of the time, my customers will come in and say, "Where's the Japanese sauce?" I'll say, "It's down there." Now, I've had a couple of people say, "Well, what is Japanese sauce?" I'll say, "Are you Japanese?" Which obviously they're not, you can tell. And they'll say, "No," and I'll say, "Okay, then it's Japanese sauce. If you're Japanese, I guess they call it teriyaki."
All right, explain that last one again.
Explain what again?
When you have a customer come in who is not Japanese...
Well, I don't know if they're Japanese. They may be Asian American. But they'll ask me, "Do you have the teriyaki?" And I'll say, "I'd appreciate it if you'd call it what it is, Japanese sauce." And
so even Japanese or Asian people?
Yeah, Hispanic people, Asian people, no matter who they are. In our stores, in all 30 of our stores, we tell people it's called Japanese sauce. It's a corn chip. It's a flat corn sandwich with some cheese on it. And that's called Mexican sauce. And
what is Mexican sauce?
Mexican sauce is picante sauce. Salsa is hot tomato dip. We don't call it, for instance, bratwurst, which is a German phrase. We call it a European hot dog.
You call bratwurst the European hot dog?
Right.
So it sounds to me, Bob, like this is an entire effort at your store to anglicize, or not even anglicize, huh?
No, it's Americanizing.
Americanizing every single term, and that is not causing you any problems.
By the contrary, Phil, our American customers, and that's who I serve, I'm sure most people will tell you that those are my customers, Americans. And I serve Americans and English-speaking Americans, and they don't want a lot of fancy names like, you know, "Where's the bratwurst?" I say, "You're talking about European hot dogs are back there," and people, you see the relief come over their face. I mean, literally.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Our number is, we have Robert Green on the line with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Robert Green here about Americanizing terms for Americans. Far too many foreign language terms. If it's a bratwurst, it's a European hot dog. If it's a tortilla chip, it's a corn chip. If it is picante sauce, it's Mexican sauce. If it's teriyaki, it's just called Japanese sauce. Your thoughts, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Robert Green here in a moment.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. We're reacting here to this story on the hotel owner in Taos, New Mexico, who wanted all of his employees to change their names, anglicize their names, to anglicize not only their names, but to speak English in his presence. And it's caused a little bit of controversy down there. Robert Green from Fraser Foods has joined us. And before we get to some phone calls here, Bob, I wanted to ask you, because you and I had a very interesting conversation here. You're saying that you're basically saying people are sick and tired of having to deal with all of these foreign terms.
There's no question in my mind, Phil. Remember that what I do for a living is I'm a grocer, and that means that I'm in contact with my customers every day, and they don't want to. They're being hammered already with this wave of immigration. Not that we're not anti-immigrant, but we want to hold on to our English language. And when you say, someone says to me, "Well, do you have sushi?" I'll say, "What we have is raw fish on rice. Do you want that?" And they'll say, "Is it sushi?" And I'll say, "What we have is raw fish on rice. Do you want that?" And people gradually begin to get the message that it's all right. You can talk like an American in our store.
Robert Green with us, 877-876-PHIL is our number. We'll go over to a phone call here. We have Greg in Bloomington, Illinois. Greg, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Well, thank, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yes, sir.
I just can't believe that this guy, Robert Greene, is really thinking that the public needs to have their foods dumbed down to them. I mean, I work in a factory. I'm not very culturized, but isn't that kind of the point of being an American, is kind of expanding our culture and kind of taking in other things? I mean, that just sounds ridiculous.
I agree with you, Greg. I don't disagree with you, Greg, at all, but we live in America. You work in a factory. You're a blue-collar guy. You love this country. You can see what's happening with all of these. It seems like we've got to speak five different languages to even get out of the house in the morning. So when you, Greg, bring your family into my store, you can know that it's going to be easy to shop. You don't have to look for fancy tortilla chips. You just go for the corn chips. You know what they are. If you want
I understand
Japanese sauce, go get it. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't
Greg,
want my
let me ask
daughter
Greg.
Run around saying that she doesn't even know what a tortilla chip is, and you know that's kind of just basic knowledge for Americans, I thought. You know.
Well, I don't think your daughter is going to be held back because she doesn't know what a tortilla chip is. I mean, if she knows what a corn chip is, that's good enough. She's an American kid. Does she really need to know it's called teriyaki? Why can't she just call it what it is, Japanese type sauce?
Because teriyaki is what it is.
Yeah, it's Japanese sauce.
Well, when you say Japanese sauce, can't that be a lot of different things?
No, it's the sauce that the Japanese make. How difficult is that? And especially with bratwurst, which is a big one. These Germans who are European, so they think they have a special place, I guess, in terms of American lineage, but no, they don't. Not in my store. It's not a bratwurst. It's a German hot dog. That's what it is.
I consider myself rather intelligent. To have a store dumb down their food to where I have to change what I already know, man, I mean, that's just something that I wouldn't buy.
Well, I mean, I don't doubt that you're intelligent. This is making shopping easier for you and your wife is your... And I believe that you're an intelligent man. The liberals in Washington want us to continue to confuse consumers with the fancy foreign foods in the name of multiculturalism. And I know you don't want that, and neither do I.
All right, so to you, Bob, this is a way of combating multiculturalism?
Absolutely. These liberals, Greg, want you to call it, you know, chimichanga or whatever whatever they call it. Don't do it. It's meat that's been, you know, basically shredded meat.
So if we sell hamburgers like Chinese, should they say it's just an American piece of meat?
No, it's a hamburger because we created it. We get to name it.
But
that's the... All right, exactly. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much, Greg. Back with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods on Americanizing the World. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
That guy said he was smart, but he didn't sound it.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with Truth Is Our Bitch, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show every night. On our website, you can also watch us on live streaming video. We also have live streaming audio on our site, philhendryshow.com. Robert Greene is with us from Fraser Foods as we continue to discuss the hotel owner in Taos, New Mexico, Mr. Larry Whitten, who demanded English, anglicizing the names of his employees.
And I'd like to make the point, though, I'm not doing that with my employees because they're not talking to the customers. I talk to the customers, or the cashiers talk to the customers, and most of our cashiers, it's not a big thing to say, hi, her name is Linda Martinez. I don't see a problem with that. What we're doing is we are responding to the American people who are sick and tired of everything being of foreign origin, and not just of foreign origin, but you got to call it the foreign name. I'll give an example. We just got in some marvelous, in our deli, we've got in lamb sandwiches. Lamb sandwiches with a white, the white sauce on it. Okay?
Euros.
Exactly. That's what they are, Euros. Yeah, that's what they used to call them. We don't call it that. It's a lamb sandwich. Because the American people were responding to, and frankly, Americans who, they don't get it, they don't understand it. I'll sit in what you're talking about is the corn chip that you put meat in. They'll say yes. That's what they used to call a taco, but here we call it, it's a bent corn chip that you stick meat in.
Yeah, but you can't put that on a sign, can you?
Yes, you can. You could put, it's a pre-shaped corn chip that you put your meat, put, not your meat, but you put, you know, ground meat into.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to a phone call here. We have Lolly in Nashville. Lolly, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green. What can we do for you this evening?
Hey, listen, Robert.
Yes, ma'am.
I am a Latin American woman. My father's Argentinian. My mom is Cuban. I was born here in this country. I speak fluent Spanish.
Well, I call
a hamburger a hamburger.
Why don't you
salsa,
say you're an American? Why don't you say you're Latin American?
Because I'm Latin American. My mother
no,
is
you're
Latin.
No, see, that right
Latin.
There is the problem. Right there
no,
is the problem.
No, it's not. No, it is
that
not.
That confuses people.
No,
it confuses
and a bratwurst
me.
Is a bratwurst, okay?
No, it's
there
a German, it's a German
no,
hot dog.
No, it's not. No,
yes, it is.
Gonna
that's
know.
Exactly what it is.
You can't call sushi raw fish on rice. That's ridiculous.
Are you telling me that's not what it is? Is that not what it is? That's exactly what it is.
There's a small percentage of Americans that call it Anglo-Saxon English or whatever you want to call it. That is totally ridiculous. I call a hamburger a hamburger.
Look, you speak with a southern accent. You speak with a southern accent. You speak English. So why call yourself Latin American? So why call yourself a Latin American?
Hold on, hold on. I can't hear anybody. Hold on, hold on. I can't hear anybody. What? That's okay. What were you saying, Robert?
Well, she comes on here and she says she's Latin American because I guess she has no other identity, and that confuses people. They go, well, are you an American or aren't you?
Idiot! That's such an idiotic thing to say.
Now you're calling me names.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's an idiotic thing to say.
You're like,
I am Latin
you're like
American.
Every, you know what? You're like every ex-wife there ever was.
And a bratwurst and is a bratwurst. And salsa is salsa, and sushi is
wait a minute, you're
sushi.
Latin American, but you're telling me all about German food. Where do you, I don't understand.
I'm
that.
Not saying
you're Latin
anything
American.
About German food, but how are you going to
yeah,
call
you are.
It a European
it's a German hot
sausage or whatever?
Because that's what it is. That's what it is. That's exactly
no, it's
what
not.
It is.
It's called a bratwurst. That's what it's called.
Right,
and a hamburger
store,
is a hamburger.
You, all I'm telling you,
there is
no
other. There is no other
if you want to get down
calling
to,
a hamburger
you know,
a hamburger or French fries French fries. Then why not
you
call
can,
it
you
fries?
Can, you're on, you're in the minority. I'm sorry.
Fries.
You're in the minority. That's all I'm telling
okay.
you.
Okay. No,
most
I'm not.
Americans now. Yes,
I am
you
not
are.
The
yes.
minority.
Well, first of all, you're Latin American, so that makes you.
That's correct. I am Latin
you know,
American.
You,
very proud of it.
No, you're
my
not.
My parents came to this country and they learned
well,
English
yeah,
and they learned how to call
you.
A hamburger a hamburger and nothing else. And they learned how to call French fries
right.
French fries and their fries.
And
their
what do you call? Let me ask you something.
Sticks.
What do you call meat?
What do you call
meat? What do you call meat that they put in a bun? What do you call
fries?
What do you call meat that they put in a bun?
Potato sticks? Is that what you call them? Or do you call them chips?
No, they're called they're French fries because they were invented here. But
really?
I would ask you, what do
okay.
you call meat that
so
goes in a
chip? So why do you call them
chip?
French fries?
Right, do you realize that you guys are not?
Here.
Do you realize that you guys are not
here.
Listening to each other? Hold on for a minute, Lolly. Do you guys know that you're not listening to each other?
I'm listening
yes,
to her, but she's
that.
Butting in. She's butting in.
No, I mean neither you, Bob, have to let the lady talk.
Why do I need to let the lady talk when she's got everything wrong?
See,
everything she said is wrong.
No, wait.
Point, honey.
What she's
There's
saying,
no
what Lolly is saying, is French fries.
French fries were an American called them French fries.
Why are they called
gag.
French
and the
fries?
Names, because he called it that for a gag and it stuck. All right.
And why not call them potato sticks?
Well, let me ask you this: why are you called Lolly? What's that? What is that supposed to mean?
What do you mean?
My name.
What is her name? What's Lolly mean?
That's her name.
That's
I never
correct.
Heard any name like that. I've never heard any name like that before.
It doesn't matter if you've never heard a name like that. That's
yeah,
my name.
Oh, well then you've never heard of European hot dog. Get used to it.
You're so
man.
Ridiculous.
Man.
No,
look,
you called
no,
me an idiot, and I'm trying to keep this country
so
free of you and your Latin American or whatever.
Well, now, wait, hold on, Bob. She's an American citizen. She.
Well, then call it, what's with this, I'm a Latin
here.
American.
Because she was
because
born
I
here.
Then why does she call herself Latin American?
Because I am Latin. I speak fluent Spanish.
You're about
yo
it.
Hablo
you got,
español.
No, this is how you talk. No, this is how you talk. You go, yeah, I'm down here, and I'm in Tennessee. You don't sound like anything other than what you are in America.
Bueno, yo hablo español.
And then there's a movement by consumers who don't like these fancy foreign names.
Huh?
Like, ma'am, you got to get on board. Nobody wants to call it a quesadilla.
All right, okay. Lolly, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. That was difficult to understand, Robert, in terms of her, when she says she's Latin American.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? And if she came into my store and she said, oh, where are the tacos? I'd say, what do you mean? And she'd say, you know, that's the kind of woman that, just to make a point, she'd keep saying, where are the tacos, where are the tacos? And I'd keep saying, I don't know what you mean, I don't know what you mean. And I guarantee you, Phil, because I believe so strongly in this, I'd stand there until closing. And she'd stand there with me saying, where are the tacos? And I'd say, I'm not telling you.
You're not telling her because she's not using the... What do you want her to say?
I want her to call them what they are. It's a curved shell. It's a curved corn chip with meat shoved in it. And I'm sorry to put it so crudely, but that's what it is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to another phone call with meat shoved into it. I think there's probably a more delicate way of putting things. Here is Susan in Rockland, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene.
But I'm a little bit upset.
Susan, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Sorry. I'm Susan.
Yes, that's all right.
I'm not here to upset you more, Robert. I just wanted to say...
Well, I mean, she says I'm a Latin American. I'm a Latin American. You know, a big deal. So you're Latin American.
I'm not a Latin American. My ancestors are from Ireland, so I'm Irish. But I'm not Irish. I'm American. I understand
right.
your reasoning,
right.
but at the same time, her culture, her family is Latin. So, in other words, she does have Latin in her. She speaks fluent Spanish, but she's also an American.
See,
that's why I called in.
She's an American that speaks Spanish.
Right.
And you're not Irish. You're not Irish.
No, I know that. I know that.
Yeah, but her people come from Ireland.
Forget about where her people are from.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Gosh.
I just say,
God.
I personally find it a little ridiculous, but to each his own. You have the right, you own the store, to call it whatever you want to call it. I just know if I personally went into that store, I would find it very confusing because all of these names that are other places' names, like teriyaki is Japanese, you know, so on and so forth, those are names that I've grown up calling these specific sauces. It's not because it's Japanese that it's teriyaki. It just is teriyaki sauce. And there are numerous Japanese sauces, I'm sure. I don't know any of them. But there are numerous Japanese sauces. There are numerous Mexican sauces. So if I went in there and I was looking for teriyaki sauce, and I asked you that, and you said, oh, the Japanese sauce, I'm going to have
exactly.
no clue what you're talking about.
No, you go over it. There's not numerous Japanese.
What if there were, like, there's teriyaki, and there...
Yeah, see, you can't even think of another one. So what I'm saying is this. If there were two or three, just say, it's over with the Japanese sauce. What's the difference?
Right. Let me ask you something.
What if Susan came into the store and she bought the teriyaki? She didn't have to ask you about the teriyaki. She brought it to the register and didn't need to bother you with it.
Well, I mean, if she brought it to the register and I saw that it was this Japanese, I'd ask her, you know, you got Japanese sauce there, and she'd say, yeah. If she said it was teriyaki, then I'd say to her, well, you need to refer to it what it is. That's what we call it here.
Right, but
okay, but she's checking out.
Why are you forcing me to sell her something that she won't use the right name for?
Wait a minute.
Well,
what difference does it make?
You're telling me that she gets to call it, well, the lady can laugh if she wants. You know, ma'am, we've got a very, very vociferous argument going on in this country about bilingualism and multiculturalism.
I don't agree with the different languages on the labels. And different languages on signs, that does bother me. I'm not racist by any means.
Exactly.
But I believe
exactly.
if you live here, you should know English. But that doesn't mean
exactly.
you have to change the names of sauces and
Wait,
chips.
You said you don't
that's
like
really,
the different
that,
names
that's the minor
the
thing. That's not
well,
even
you
a
said
big
you don't like
deal.
That. You don't want names on why do we have to call it tortilla then?
Well, I mean, she was talking about, like, signs on the...
Sunshine. She said...
And I don't like being called Sunshine, if you don't mind.
Forgive me, but I... She said change the names.
Yeah.
Well, then how come I got to call it a tortilla chip? Why don't you call it... Why does that get to stay?
Well, it's always
what I'm saying?
A tortilla chip, so why change it? You
well,
know,
it's
it came here
been,
that way. Just like they
well,
made French
had,
fries here, and they're called French
well,
fries.
We've always had Japanese here. We've always had Japanese here. That doesn't mean
right.
I got to start
In teriyaki sauce, I know exactly what you're talking
beer
about.
Beer and beer up on every billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Susan, so you're pretty comfortable with...
Well, I, you know, if she comes into my store, believe me, there'll be a day that Susan will get on her knees and thank me, almost as if...
I don't think those people are sighing, though, for relief. I think they're sighing out of astonishment that someone has taken all this time out of their life to change such minor things. If you want to make a difference, make a difference, but by changing the name of a food is really not going to change liberalism.
But if you come into my store, you have to call... Right, but if you come in my store, you've got to call it... Japanese sauce, or else I can't sell it.
Well, I live in the north. No.
You're kidding? Are you kidding me?
Store, but
well, we may be opening one up in the Boston area.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. 877-876 Phil. That was Susan. Thank you, Susan, so much. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. Although I do want to find out from Bob, if you wouldn't mind, Bud, what that whole thing was about. I won't sell it to you.
Well, if you say I got a bag of bratwurst here, he's going to say no. You got a German. You have a German dog.
Is he not going to sell it?
Not going to sell it to you, no. If you have the bag of the dogs.
Yeah, if you have a bratwurst, he ain't going to sell it. So he won't sell it to me unless I call it what he wants me to call it, a European hot dog.
No, it's like a German dog. Yeah, a Germany dog.
A Germany dog.
Well, something like that.
877-876-PHIL here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene, as we talk here about the hotel owner in New Mexico who has anglicized the names of his employees, or at least he's tried to, and there's been quite an outcry. We'll be back with your phone calls here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in just a moment.
I call it a German dog, or a Germany dog.
Phil Hendry.
Robert Greene joins us from Fraser Foods. In Taos, New Mexico, Larry Whitten wanted to anglicize the names of his employees. He didn't want them speaking Spanish in front of him. And we're talking, and there's been quite a loud outcry as a result of that. We're talking with Robert Greene about the whole idea of multiculturalism. Mr. Greene owns some 30 supermarkets and grocery stores across the Southwest and Southeast. And the idea that you have changed, we'll get to your phone calls here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The idea that you've changed the names of all of these products from the foreign name, such as when you said sushi, raw fish on rice, right?
Well, that's exactly what it is, Phil. I think it's that lady that called and said, no, it isn't, it's sushi. You can tell when somebody doesn't really have a comeback and they don't really know what they're talking about. No. It's like a child that'll say, no, that's not the sun, that's a big orange ball. Well, it's the sun, you know. And you can say that it's sushi, but in America, it's rice with, you know, raw fish that was put on it. And I had a customer the other day. I'll give you a very good example. A customer came into the store and said, can you tell me where the challah is? Challah is the way you pronounce it. I said, what is challah? He said, you know, challah. And then he had to explain what it was. And I said, you mean Jew bread.
And what was it?
He said it was challah, but it's actually what we call in our store Jew bread. It's just Jew bread. It's the bread that the Jews will eat.
And Jew bread? Dude, are you...
What do you mean, dude? What does that mean, dude?
Well, where do you put this?
It's in my store. I don't know.
What? Don't you have people... That's a little insensitive is what I'm trying to say to you. To call something Jew bread...
Well, what else? No. Phil, we are not racist. We're not anti-Semitic. We are not in any way bigoted. That's exact. What else would you call that?
I guess I would agree with a lot of people that call it challah, which is what it is. And
no, it's not. That's not an American term. That's another foreign term forcing multiculturalism on the liberals in Washington. Boy, they did a number on you, man.
Wait, Bob, no liberal...
I mean, in our country today, we're forced to speak 5 different languages. We got to have 15 different signs. And one businessman, one lonely businessman in Buena Park, California, tries to do something about it, and you're calling me a racist. And that's exactly what these liberals want you to do.
I'm not. I did not say you were a racist. And let the record show, I did not say that.
Well, what do you mean I can't say Jew bread?
Because that's considered to be impolite. Shall we say that?
Well, what would you like me to call it? Jewish bread? You know that is grammatically incorrect, because that means that the bread is a living thing and it comes from Israel or something. Oh, this is Jewish bread. Could you give it a passport? I hate to sound stupid,
but...
Well, you're sounding a little ridiculous, because I think when you say Jew bread... Look, I had an encounter with a lady in a airport once. My stepkids were half Jewish, you know, their father's Jewish. And what this woman said...
are we talking about my store now, or...
I wanted to tell you, this lady asked one of my kids, are you a Jew? And I said to her, we consider that to be impolite.
Well, that's fine. You told me that woman was a German, right?
She was a foreigner, yeah.
All right, well, she needed to be put in her place. But these are Americans. Americans... Nobody's being a racist. It's Jew bread.
I can't believe that you haven't had people complaining rather vociferously about that. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in a world-famous Phil Hendry show with Robert Greene. Here is Mark in San Antonio. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry show with Bob Greene. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, in a way, I agree with Robert. You know, we are being inundated with, you know, the Mexican language, you know, Spanish
all of that
language,
stuff,
but...
All of that,
you know,
yeah.
We are,
yeah. Multicultural. That's what the liberals want you to do, see?
Well, but you got to remember one thing. You know, we are a melting pot. That's how America started. You know, my ethnic background, French, Belgium, German, English, and Cherokee Indian. You know, and you say, you know...
Well, that's ridiculous. How am I supposed to remember all of that? How am I supposed to remember all of that? The best thing to do is just say... You're an American, and we don't call it, you know, what do you call it, vichyssoise? We call it whatever that is, like a dead, like some kind of bird, isn't it? Isn't that what vichyssoise is?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're French, Mark.
Yeah, see, he's French, well, he doesn't even know.
You know, I don't flaunt it, you know. I don't flaunt my ethnicity, you know.
I think it's just, that's the French bird.
You know, I just think you're going just a little bit overboard with that, you know, because I mean, I live in San Antonio, and I'm originally from Michigan.
Yeah, here we go.
And I bought.
Here we go.
You know, there's a lot of
everybody
German
says,
culture down here. You know, I've always called it bratwurst. You know,
all
and
right,
I call
let me ask you, what's a kraut? You ever heard of a kraut dog?
Yeah.
You heard of a kraut? Okay, that's what I call bratwurst. Now,
yeah, bratwurst,
people get
know.
People. They get offended if they say, "Why'd you call it a kraut dog?" I said, "You know." And they'll think, oh, because it has sauerkraut on it. But it doesn't. It's a kraut dog. And
well, you're using a pejorative term for Germans.
But they don't know that. They think I mean with the sauerkraut. And so that's by way of releasing some of the tension that builds up in me all day from having to say, hi, how are you? Where's the bratwurst? Oh, you mean the German hot dog? If I just say kraut dog...
So you want to be hostile...
I beg your pardon?
You want to be hostile about it.
No, sir, I do not want to be hostile. I just get tired of having to be politically correct with these this meat that is half veal, half pig, whatever it is, and it's made over there in a country that, you know, I don't have to remind you what went on over there. And it takes my appetite away, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God, Bob. You're not bringing up the Holocaust to people to come into your store.
If it needs to be, yes.
Hey, Bob, about
yes,
the,
sir.
You know, when you say the Jewish bread, you know.
Yeah, Jew bread.
And the Jew bread.
Yeah.
I, you know, well, what about when you go to the store and buy Jewish rye?
A Jew rye?
Do they take
okay.
offense
like,
to that?
That's a joke. No, that's a joke. I'll say, what month were you born? Jew rye? And it's just a way to let off tension. And
all right, thanks a lot. Bob Greene with us. Coming up, we're going to have a discussion on... Oh, I forget.
Phil Hendry.